T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
I'm only here because President Trump threatened to kill me and my family if I wasn't here today, just so you should know. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program. We have so many things we're going to get into, David, but before we get into what the game plan was, some breaking news on the State of the Union, otherwise known as the State of the Union.
Right. So basically what happened was on January 3rd, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, sent a letter to the President of the United States inviting him on January 29th to deliver the State of the Union address, as every president since Thomas Jefferson has done, in the Capitol building where the House of Representatives, everyone there, the Supreme Court. The State of the Union is something that happens every single year. It's a tradition. It's a constitutional mandate. Now, the Constitution doesn't expressly state that it has to be delivered in person, but there must be a report given by the executive branch every year on the State of the Union delivered to Congress. And that invitation was made during the government shutdown. President Donald Trump today wrote a letter to the Speaker of the House saying, hey, as you know, I've already accepted your kind invitation. However, I then received another letter from you dated January 16th of 2019, wherein you expressed concerns regarding security during the State of the Union address due to the shutdown. Even prior to asking, I was contacted by the Department of Homeland Security and the United States Secret Service to explain that there would absolutely be no problem regarding security with respect to the event. They have since confirmed this publicly. Accordingly, there is no security concerns regarding the State of the Union, and therefore I will be honoring your invitation and fulfilling my constitutional duty to deliver the important information to the people and Congress of the United States of America regarding the state of our union. Well, moments ago, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, wrote this letter to President Donald Trump. Mr. President, when I extended an invitation on January 3rd for you to deliver the State of the Union address, it was on the mutually agreed upon date, January 29th. At that time, there was no thought that the government would still be shut down. Well, hold on. You wrote the first letter knowing there was a government shutdown. You also wrote the first letter knowing that the shutdown would continue until $5.7 billion were given for Trump to build his fence, his wall. She goes on to say, in my further correspondence of January 16th, I said we should work together to find a mutual agreeable date when the government has reopened. I hope we can still do that. I'm writing to inform you that the House of Representatives will not consider a concurrent resolution authorizing the President's State of the Union address in the House chamber until the government has opened. And again, I look forward to you welcoming you to the House on a mutually agreeable date for this address when the government has reopened. Now, the problem is her first letter had nothing to do with the government reopening. Her first letter was about the security concerns stated in about the shutdown. Here's Kellyanne Conway to reiterate.
The Secret Service and DHS affirmed to the president, even before he asked, that there are no security concerns. And they have since confirmed that publicly to all of you.
Well, there are cracks in the Democratic, I should say, amongst the ranks in Democrats, Tom. We have Democrats now going public. One of them is Representative Collin Peterson, Minnesota congressperson, who says, hey, give Trump the money. This is ridiculous. We wanted this wall. Everyone wants this wall. We're going to build it eventually. Let's do it now. A Michigan Democrat, Representative Elisa Slocan, she told a news outlet in her hometown, in her district, that they're absolutely willing to get everyone in the, quote, damn room and negotiate a deal over border security. Of course, we need a wall, said another Democrat. We're starting to see even Elaine Luria of Virginia encouraging Nancy Pelosi to take Trump's offer and counterpropose it with green cards given to all the DACA recipients, the Dreamers. Give them green cards, but take the deal, $5.7 billion, according to Representative Elaine Luria of Virginia, a Democrat. is actually 1/8 of what you yourself asked for years ago. That's pretty brazen considering that's their speaker. That's Nancy Pelosi. We got Democrats saying, take the deal, end the shutdown. Now Pelosi, after her canceled trip to the Middle East, is saying, nope, it's not about security. It's about the shutdown. She issued the letter during the shutdown. Now she's claiming, I didn't think it was going to go this long.
No, this has all about this is all about spite because of President Trump interfering with the junket they were going to take overseas to Brussels and beautiful downtown Kabul.
Right. Exactly. Walter Isaacson, who's a very outspoken left-wing professor at Tulane, has done numerous media appearances. He just tweeted a couple hours ago that Dems should take the deal. DACA, the most important moral issue, will inevitably stay in place. Trump's base will rebel against him. The border funding will never lead to a real wall. Steel fences in more locations are not a bad thing for the United States or for Democrats. Pelosi, give in to the deal. Now, that's the that's her own base right there. Centrist Democrats are begging Pelosi to take the president at his word. And they believe that there's a political imperative to do it because his base will crumble. Pro-Trump supporters will crumble. We also have a handful of Democrats in the House that are saying that we'll give Trump $5 billion right now, reopen the government, spend it on border security, just not permanent wall fixtures. Now, there's some minutia in those words. What is a permanent wall fixture? That is defined as a concrete wall that cannot be moved. Steel slats are not considered to be a permanent structure. So you've got Democrats in the House right now rebelling against Nancy Pelosi saying, give them $5.7 billion, just say no wall, no permanent structure barrier.
Unacceptable.
That's what they're saying. Unacceptable. We're not going to give him any money, even though, and again, this is boomeranging right back, you know, in the face of leadership. I mean,
but you know what I'm saying? I'm saying it's unacceptable to me. I mean, if you're going to build a wall, you build a wall. If you're going to build a structure, you make it permanent because the goal is to secure our borders. Why do we want to temporarily secure our borders?
Well, I think the goal is that you put the steel slats in now and then down the road when you have hopefully you know, more people in Congress, you get the majority back. You've got the Senate, you've got the House, you've got the president, and you're able to say, hey, now let's take this a little bit more seriously. We're only talking about 225 miles of wall here, and we're talking 112 miles already are being built in 2019. That's already been paid for. Those walls are already going up. Those barriers, fences, whatever you want to call them. The see-through steel slats work just as good as anything else, according to DHS. And they're not considered permanent because of the way that they are installed. So, you know, I'll tell you, there are steel slats right now that have been installed years ago that are still there. So what is permanent? What isn't? To me, it's just the minutia of the wording. But it allows Democrats to back away from Pelosi. It allows Trump to deliver on his, you know, campaign promise. Everyone wins. And honestly, you get a whole lot of stuff that I don't think President Trump as a candidate would have ever given the Democratic side, which is basically saying, hey, why are so many kids coming across the border? Well, eventually the Republicans will cave on DACA. You know, whether or not you want to say that these kids didn't have a choice of their own, their parents still broke the law. Their parents knew exactly what the hell they were doing. And all you have to do is wait a generation for your parents to commit a felony and you'll be forgiven.
In New York State.
Everywhere. I mean, if DACA recipients are going to get green cards out of this deal, you're still rewarding people who skip the system.
Is this really a good idea, this DACA thing?
I think it's a horrible idea. But again, it's a concession that's being made to keep the government open. And again, when we're talking about...
So keep it closed.
Well, that's where the president is right now. I mean, look, how many people work in construction? How many people work jobs that are laid off seasonally because of the nature of what they do? Nobody raises GoFundMe for construction workers to get laid off. Nobody goes to a plant of people that are seasonal employees or work a certain amount of time and decides, oh, what about these? How are these guys going to? They get food stamps. They go through trials and tribulations like everyone else, you know, but because everyone's front and center on these 800,000 government employees, you know, everyone. But look, does a construction worker get back pay when they're laid off? No. Does a construction worker get any other, you know, there's no negotiation by the President of the United States and Congress on behalf of someone who's laid off because a job loses its funding or the weather turns bad. Nobody cares about that segment of folks. They live their life and adjust economically according to the nature of how they earn money. But here in this situation, it appears that there's, even though Democrats are willing to concede, the leadership will not. It's very personal. And we just had a Speaker of the House tell the sitting President of the United States, we do not want you to give the State of the Union address. I mean, it's constitutionally mandated.
I would call that deplorable behavior. Well, and it's vengeful, it's spiteful, and it has everything to do with the cancel junket.
Well, listen, my whole take on this is I would cancel the State of the Union just on principle. I think the whole thing is a waste of time. You could certainly send a letter. It was absolutely ridiculous when a member of the House stood up and called Obama a liar during the State of the Union. That was absolutely unprofessional and uncalled for, and that member of Congress should have been censured. That's not his point. It's not what he's supposed to do. And I'll also say that when Obama called out the Supreme Court over their decision, you know, considering corporations to have First Amendment rights to donate to campaigns, I thought that was ridiculous. No sitting president has ever called on the Supreme Court of the United States and shamed them. Remember, Sam Alito gave a look to the president, and that was a big talking point. So, look, I think the whole thing is a colossal waste of taxpayer dollars and time. It's the Super Bowl for, you know, for politicians. I don't like it. I never have liked it. But in this case, you offered the invitation during the shutdown, and then you changed your argument to say it was security. DHS and Secret Service are saying we have no problems making this a safe.
Honest to God, I don't think most people give a flying rat's ass about the State of the Union address. When Ronald Reagan, St. Ronald Reagan, when he was the President of the United States, I can't tell you the number of times we would carry the State of the Union address, then immediately after, okay, this is what the President said, give us your take on what the President said. All right, we're still waiting for our first call. It's been 90 minutes since the State of the Union address. People don't care.
Well, people don't care about the Second Amendment either, but I mean, it's still...
Well, they care more about the Second Amendment because it is written in stone and it's constantly being chipped at. The State of the Union is always this amorphous congeree of just generalizations and aren't we great and isn't our administration doing a great job?
I concur. I believe that if I were, you know, advising any, I would say, you know what, Mr. Trump, let's be the first president since Jefferson to say, here's a letter. I think it's a waste of time. I think it's a waste of money. Nobody seems to care about it. The response is even, you know, we talk, if you look at the most recent State of the Union addresses, the only story that came out of them were either a member of Congress screaming during it when it was Obama giving the address, or we're talking about the response and Bobby Jindal's creepy eyebrows, or Marco Rubio needing a water bottle, or you know, who was it, Warner? Who was the vice presidential candidate this year? The guy running with the last time, the senator from of Virginia who had the crazy face, and he just his eyes were open and he looked like he was in Psycho. Okay. You know, those are the stories that we talk about. It's to me, it's pointless. I agree. But it's still audacious. It's still brazen. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi is caught in this, I didn't mean that. I just didn't know this was going to last that long, proves to me that. Well, right. But it also proves the point that you shut down the government for show. If you truly didn't mean to shut down, if you believe in something so much that you're willing to inconvenience 800,000 federal employees, it would be nice to know that it was a real cause and that you were going to die on the hill. Otherwise, why would you shut down the government for 2 hours, let alone for 27 days?
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is let's face it. If the President of the United States is not giving the historic State of the Union address, he seems to be less of a President of the United States. In fact, I dare say he seems to be more illegitimate because he's not giving the State of the Union address.
Well, could you imagine if he did it like at the KeyBank Arena in downtown? You know, you go to a place where you just are surrounded by, you know, pro-Trump supporters with MAGA hats.
That's what I do. If I was President Trump, screw going to Congress. He doesn't have to go to Congress.
Go to the high school in Kentucky. Do the State of the
Union. Absolutely. Covington?
Yeah. Go to the
Maybe he'll get an interview with Arlo Guthrie. Right. Or Savannah.
Right, either one of the two.
Or Woody.
Woody Guthrie would be
a very interesting interview.
It would be, especially in his current situation. But no.
A bit one-sided.
Right, but the point is, this is just, you know, we're going back and forth. We're playing political ping pong, and it's silly and it's stupid. But again, it shows that if you only thought that it was going to close for a limited amount of time, then it was always a political stunt, and no politician has ever admitted to a shutdown as being a political stunt. We all know it's a stunt. We all know it's done. I mean, every Christmas, there's a threat. Just like Time, what, Spectrum Cable, every year, there's you're going to lose your cable news.
Oh.
You're going to lose ESPN.
You won't call be able your, to watch the hockey game.
Call your cable provider or your house will burn to the ground. Everyone threatens you with what stations you're going to lose every Christmas. This happens every year. And they always miraculously come to a deal. MSG is now back on Dish On Demand because you made enough phone calls and we made a deal. They always make a deal. It's always nonsense. And the State of the Union and government shutdowns are always, well, I should say government shutdowns, are always used every Christmas as a ploy to get what they want. This time you got a president who's not backing down, and it appears that the Democrats, even though you have outspoken members of her own caucus saying, Nancy Pelosi, let's meet at the table. And by the way, Schumer is not even a part of that. Schumer is not a part of these negotiations at all. This is Pelosi and Trump, and her own caucus is saying, you know, take the deal, end the shutdown.
Is this a good deal, though, for America? The one that President Trump has offered? Because I don't think it is.
I don't. I'm not a fan of any of these things. I mean, you broke the law. You shouldn't be rewarded for it. The other side of it, of course, is that you're conceding. But once you make a concession, I mean, what do you do after that? You can't backtrack.
Well, I wonder what the polling says. I wonder what the polling data that Pelosi and Trump have access to says about the shutdown, the wall, DACA, et cetera.
Well,
they've got to have internal numbers.
Oh, I'm sure they do, and one of the reasons why you're not hearing those polling numbers is because they probably don't, you know, ring true to what the narrative is. But we've got a couple of breaking news stories here. We got what appears to be in Sebring, Florida, at the SunTrust Bank, a mass shooting and a hostage situation. We'll keep our eye on that. We don't have any other details out of Florida, but of course, what is Bowerly and Bellavia every 3 months? Without breaking into some sort of mass casualty shooting event. It seems to be far too often.
Hopefully that's not going to be the case, but we're hearing about a mass shooting, and it's ongoing in Sebring, Florida. And the minute we can offer you anything like an update on what is going on in Sebring, Florida, we will do so. Now we have an update on the situation in Sebring, Florida, Central Florida, David, where there was a report of a bank robbery, multiple shootings and multiple injured, and the SWAT guys were there, and it is over.
Well, I could tell you, any lessons learned from Parkland or any of the other mass shootings that we've had, it certainly appears that law enforcement across the country has completely changed their tactics to active shooters, because what you're seeing on these images from this Sebring SunTrust Bank, it's about an hour and 45 minutes from Tampa. It is, accordingly, it's about 95 miles from Tampa Bay. And this is right off 27. If you've ever been to Disney World, you know what US 27 is. It's a main thoroughfare that goes throughout Florida. And some individual walked into this bank around 12:30. We have nothing has been official, but we're hearing from law enforcement and hospitals that it appears that 9 people were shot and it appears that 5 people are deceased. But this guy got into a bank vault room and took hostages. And if you look at these pictures, Tom, they blew those doors off. Oh, yeah. I mean, they went in there and medical personnel literally entered through the blasted, whether it was hit with a vehicle or they used some sort of explosive. That entire opening is just blown apart.
But you know what this wasn't was Dog Day Afternoon with Al Pacino.
That's true.
This did not drag on. SWAT got there and immediately sprang into action. The new battle plan with these things is first officer on the first officer who responds, you go in.
If you got a pea shooter or a crossbow, you go in there and you put fire down to make sure that that guy has something to think about other than shooting innocent unarmed people. And again, you know, you think of a bank, you always have an armed guard there. You know, what the circumstances were with the armed guard, no one has any idea. It's all speculation. But right now, law enforcement, the whole place is now has tape on it, which is a good sign that the horror is over. This guy is in custody, and we'll have updates there. But it appears that we don't have a death toll. Nothing is official, but we're hearing that it was a very significant event.
Kind of surprising that he surrendered.
Yeah, you know, again, these things, who knows? You know, one thing, obviously, being a bank, you could, we don't even know if it was a robbery, but you would assume, for all we know, it could have been some personal vendetta, former employee, maybe a personal relationship, domestic, who knows? But, you know, with the bank there and the proximity to Highway 27, which is a main artery in Florida, it's not difficult to get there quickly. They did get there quickly. But the carnage of the outside of that bank, never seen anything.
Terrible.
I'm just saying that they got in there very quickly and they surrounded it and got, you know, good guys in there. And this guy gave up, but medical personnel were able to do as much as they could, as quickly as they could. And hopefully, you know, more people survive.
You know, David, on another front, one of the most, I would say, requested shows that people have asked us to do is, do we need a national draft in the United States of America? Should we have a mandatory 2-year period of service in the military? And then by extension, people have said, well, look, not everybody's cut out for the military, so a 2-year period of national service. What age do you think should be, should that kick in? 18 to 20, 19 to 21?
No, I think 18 is the time it should kick in.
So you turn 18 and you go for two years of service to the country.
Well, look at it. Here's my take on it. Right. First of all, I'm against a draft as a veteran because I know if you want someone in a foxhole, you want to make sure that they want to be there. There's no doubt the statistics show that a conscripted, you know, military is not as effective, is not as lethal on the battlefield as one of a volunteer. But that being said, we're seeing a dramatic drop. Our Army, regular active duty Army, is at the lowest level in 75 years. Now, a lot of people point to sequestration. A lot of people point to the fact that recruiters aren't able to get access to younger people because of whatever reasons state and local law, you know, I should say state and local governments have decided they don't want recruiters in high schools. They don't want recruiters talking to Boy Scouts. But the reality is that that has an effect over time. And if you remember during, you know, the Iraq war and Afghanistan, they were stop-lossing people, which meant that, you know, they were supposed to get out. They signed a contract, and the Army and the Marine Corps were keeping people in because they couldn't suffer those losses. Then you have casualties, of course. But the issue here is, in a tribal society where everyone has their own, you know, identity politics, everyone is something. Gay people are over here, heterosexual people over here, transgender people, African-Americans, Caucasians. Everyone is in a tribe. Having a tribe that is all based on some sort of compass, some sort of, you know, value system like the military offers, or AmeriCorps or the Peace Corps or any other service you would give to your country, I think now more than ever, if we're going to save this republic, forcing people to serve in any way, it might be the best last thing we do.
Well, I don't know if anything is going to save the republic, to be honest with you, but what are some of the choices that kids could make? I mean, I think that they should have the option to choose, because as you said, you don't want somebody next to you in a battlefield who doesn't really want to be there, but they might be a perfect candidate for something like a civilian conservation corps, perfect candidate for a peace corps, perfect candidate to volunteer at hospitals near their hometown.
Well, look, this to me answers a lot, and again, I'm very slow to this point of view because I was anti-draft, anti-conscription for my entire adult life. I thought, well, I don't want it and I don't need it. For the first thing that happens in a draft, by the way, is a, you know, the E3 private in the Army becomes a staff sergeant automatically because the guys that have the experience obviously get promoted quickly, and you want to make sure people know what they're doing to get promoted. But here's the thing. Here's the key. A draft today in 2019, it answers all of the country's major headaches. All right. The first thing is, you want free college? You got free college right there. It pays for itself. Every single person who serves their government to 2 to 3 years, whatever the number is artificially that we set, automatically gets a free education. So they're right there. All your liberal folks are going to be happy. The second thing it does is it solves your illegal immigration problem overnight, because those are the first group of folks that we're grabbing are illegal immigrants in the United States of America. You're going to learn English, and you're also going to get a bad haircut. And you're going to walk around in formation, and you're going to earn your citizenship by serving in the armed forces of the United States. And then the rest of the population, I think, is going to, you know, appreciate the structure, the discipline, and the value system that so many young people just aren't getting, because we as parents have really failed this Generation Z, this iPhone generation. We failed this generation in being honorable stewards and good parents. So many of our friends that are in different areas now automatically have a system that will, you know, give them at least what right and wrong look like. Now, there's a lot of mentally ill people in our society. There's a lot of physically, people that can't physically do, you know, the work that requires in the military. But one of the main things you're seeing with women in combat arms jobs isn't because, you know, we've all gone left wing in the Army. It's because there aren't people filling those positions. So this was a necessity more than it was some social experiment to get more women involved in combat military occupational specialties.
So should there be a mandatory 2-year national service requirement of 18 to 20 year olds? Obviously, there would have to be exceptions. There are some people who are just physically unable to perform, mentally unable to perform, whatever. So there would have to be some exceptions. And where should people be allowed to serve? Obviously, people talk all the time about the military, but for many reasons, I don't favor a draft. I agree with what David Bellavia has to say on that. And if there's anybody whose opinion I trust on military matters, it is David Bellavia. The phone number. And this, again, you guys have said, how come you never do a show on? Well, today's the day we're doing a show on, should there be a 2-year period of national service? And we're taking your telephone calls as we move along at 803-0930. That's 803-0930. Star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. But David, as far as the cost of this thing is concerned, you think that this is a pay for itself kind of program? And, you know, do you think that somebody who does 2 years serving in the Peace Corps should also be entitled to the same free college that they would receive if they went into the military?
Yeah, I think there should be restrictions on it. I mean, first of all, I would target the illegal immigration group first and foremost, because that gives you a pathway to citizenship. It also establishes a vetting process that you don't have currently. You want to take people out of the shadows. And you have, who knows? I mean, the number could be 25 million illegals right now. But if you have a younger group of folks that want to become citizens, I got news for you. You put on that uniform and you deploy for the United States of America.
You're a citizen.
You're a citizen, my friends. God bless you and God bless America. But there's going to be requirements. You're going to learn the English language. You're going to, you know, learn the discipline, and you're going to serve honorably. You're going to be drug free while you do it. So there's a whole lot of, and by the way, if you aren't qualified, then there's a whole new, you know, with a draft comes what happens if you're not qualified and you're, it vets that illegal immigration
right
group out there.
Yeah, what if you get a heart murmur?
Well, then you go into another form of service. And right, it's not just the Peace Corps. We throw that around there. But, I mean, AmeriCorps, there's a plethora of different groups that you could do. You could work in your own community. Your national service can be in Buffalo, New York.
But is it better to take people from Buffalo and put them in Nebraska, people from Nebraska, put them in Buffalo, people from Florida, put them in New York City, just so they can be less tribal and less insulated?
I think that's a brilliant idea. Look, what you talk about the tribe, we bring this up all the time. Tribe, we're a big tribe. service is the number. Why are we here on this earth if it's not to serve each other? And we talk about how polarized we are, how divided we are. We've got people running around. There is no skin in this game. I want to bring you back to Vietnam, Korea, World War II. When a casualty notification team turned down a street in World War II, the entire neighborhood fell to their knees. No, anyone could have gotten that bad news. Now, when a notification team shows up, you know exactly who it is. There's only one family on the block that has a kid in the military, and now they're getting this horrible news. It was shared. It was communal. Everyone had skin in the game. And you know what else happens to my left-wing friends when everybody has skin in the game? You're less likely to go to war because everyone has skin in the game. There is no, you know, again, we get confused, I think, with the draft and the lottery system. We're not talking about a lottery system. We're talking about conscription. There's a huge difference between a random draft lottery where we're picking birthdays and saying everyone, we're talking Israel here, everyone in this age group is going to serve their country, serve their community in some aspect.
In some way, shape, or form. It could be military, but it doesn't have to be military.
But there are incentives to go into the military, and there are incentives, so if you go into the military, you get more out of your service and more out for you as an individual than you would if you went into any other service.
See, I'm a big believer in the draft should be for guys who are 50 years old and older, because we don't give a darn anymore.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that.
I'm serious. We might not be as physically fit as an 18-year-old, but attitudinally, we're better.
Well, I'll tell you what, and those guys aren't going to march anywhere. They're just going to drive me up to the door.
We're going to get our handicapped parking spot on the battlefield, and we're going to charge.
Well, hey.
Good 2-mile-an-hour clip, but we're charging.
We haven't been invaded for a reason.
Just when we have a full board of calls on national service, and we're going to get to those calls, don't worry. But President Trump is going to speak to the people of the United States momentarily. So when he does speak to you and me and everybody else, you will hear it live here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we don't know when that is going to be. I mean, I've seen times where the graphic goes up on the TV, Trump to speak soon at White House. And sometimes the White House's definition of soon and our definition of soon don't exactly mesh. So we'll keep one eye on the TV and another eye on everything else. We're awaiting President Trump to speak at the White House. Is this it, Phil? This all right, because we're watching something that looks like it was taped. Okay, let's go to Jerry in Buffalo on WBEN. Jerry, should there be a mandatory 2-year period of service in some way, shape, or form for 18 to 20-year-olds in the United States?
I was just out of high school, and I got my letter and went to Fort Dix and went over to Fort Leonard Wood, and the next thing you know, they sent me to a tropical paradise for a while. So, but it definitely builds character. There's very few, I shouldn't say very few, there's an awful lot of kids that need some guidance and regimentation in their lives, if you will. And I really think that would be a bonus.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, Jerry, and thank you for your service, by the way. My whole thing is I want to get away from a draft, because that's not the real terminology we want. We don't want a lottery system. We don't want folks who have senator fathers and mothers to get out of this.
Right.
This would affect 100% of the population. We're talking about conscription, where everyone is mandated to perform some act of national service. And, you know, again, college is a great thing. A lot of people get deferments. A lot of people have flat feet. There's reasons why you can't serve in the military. That doesn't mean that you can't serve your fellow countrymen. And again, we have a major problem where folks just don't have that compass. And that is a huge part of being, you know, a part of a team, learning how to be an individual in a communal dynamic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.